What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie in for Adam and Doran on New Year's Eve. I will be 2 to 6 tomorrow on New Year's Eve. I'll be 2 to 6 on New Year's Day. And I will have Dom DiTommaso with me behind the glass the entire time. He is in that spot now in place of our pal Nicholas Harry Callis. And on the Fan Hotline, we welcome in Dan Kangurski, covers the Penguins for Pittsburgh Hockey Now. Dan, the Penguins with a trade yesterday. Now, I might get the pronunciation messed up here. Yegor Chinnikov, am I pretty close on that? Does that sound correct?
You're in the ballpark, especially for Pittsburgh. Yeah, it's a...
actually, with my Yinzer accent.
Yeah, it's more Igor than Igor. Chinnikov, yeah. Chinnikov, we'll find out today if he's with the team or if not tomorrow. We'll get the exact syllabic pronunciation.
And the Penguins get him in exchange for a couple of draft picks and Danton Heinen, a 26 second-round pick, a 27 third-round pick, as well as Danton Heinen goes back to Columbus in this trade. Your initial thought on this deal, Dan?
It was not an insignificant price to pay for Chinnikov. That 2026 second rounder they gave up is the St. Louis Blues pick, and the Blues kind of stink. So that will be, you know, a pick probably in the 30s, maybe low 40s. So it wasn't insignificant what the Penguins gave up, but what they get is a young player with a very high pedigree, 6'1", 203 pounds, laser of a wrist shot, can really skate, has some offensive instincts. It just never came together in Columbus. He got frustrated. Coaches got frustrated with him, like a lot of young, great offensive players. The defensive side of the rink can be a problem for him. So, you know, it went sideways, and now the Penguins get a chance with a 24-year-old guy with the world in front of him to see what they've got.
16 goals is his career high. He had that in the 23-24 season. He has also never played in more than 62 games. Now, is that more to do with injuries, more to do with, you know, just kind of falling out of favor in Columbus, being pushed back, or a little mix of both?
Yes. You know, last year he suffered a fairly significant back injury that kept him out for most of the season. But then when he returned, he found he didn't have a lineup spot. Coach Dean Evason basically just shelved him for the final, you know, stretch of the season, which caused a bit of rancor internally. That's when he made the public trade declaration. I think it was July 15th or 17th through his agent, basically saying, "Trade me right now and hang up the phone." That's kind of what he did.
Do you know if there were other teams interested? Is that why the price was maybe a little bit higher than what you would think for a player with this production?
Yes. You know, when he made the trade request publicly this summer, there were plenty of teams interested. So in terms of the price, Donnie, you had sort of two things working for the Columbus Blue Jackets. One, Chinnikov's pedigree. But two, yes, if the Penguins didn't pay that sort of price, I imagine plenty of other teams would have come fairly close to it. So that there was probably a little bit of a bidding war.
Talking to Dan Kangurski, covers the Penguins for Pittsburgh Hockey Now, the man that runs Pittsburgh Hockey Now, Dan Kangurski. Where do you expect Chinnikov to fit in with this lineup? Does he play up on the second line, or do you expect him to be, you know, bumped in the three or four?
Well, fourth line would be a waste of what you just did, mm-hmm. right? I really think third line would fit him very well. Just essentially take Ville Koivunen's spot on the kids line. You know, Chinakov being 24, it's not like he's 30 joining that line. He'll play the left wing. I mean, this is how I envision it. Obviously, Dan Muse hasn't yet weighed in with his opinion on the matter. But Chinakov taking the left wing beside Ben Kindle, Rutger McGroarty can flip over to the right. And now you've got a pretty good line. You know, they've played well, has the Penguins kids line to this point, but they haven't put the puck in the net. Now with Chinakov, you know, you're going to play 14, maybe 15 minutes a night. And, you know, if all goes well, now you've got the scorer on that line that Koivunen was supposed to be.
Penguins play tonight at home, 7 p.m. puck drop against the Carolina Hurricanes. They also play New Year's Day, 7 p.m. against the Detroit Red Wings. That'll be part of a home-and-home against Detroit. Dan, what would you say is the Penguins' New Year's resolution for 2026?
Boy, they should have a lot of them. A lot of different people should have different resolutions. But as a team, I really think what they have to really focus on is cleaning up. They have to red up their house, as you might say, because they have played so well for such long stretches, but not gotten the results because they implode at the wrong time or they just play sloppy. I really am at a loss to explain it other than just some players can't dial into a clean game. That's not supposed to be the way it is. But for the Penguins, it has been, you know, with Erik Karlsson and Chris Letang, the fans, you know, certainly have voiced their displeasure on those topics, right? But if the Penguins can just clean up their game, meet the hockey gods halfway, they're actually going to be pretty good in the second half.
41 points for the Penguins, 37 games in. The only other team with that few of games played in the entire Eastern Conference is Philadelphia, who does have a playoff spot as of now with 45 points. Dan, do you have faith that the Penguins can be in this thing until the end, or how do you think that second half could play out?
Well, yeah, I mean, faith or confidence, those aren't words I generally buy into because that's not my job, right? I do think they can and should be in this race. The Eastern Conference is so wonderfully mediocre from basically top to bottom. The Florida Panthers would be the class of the field, but they're just depleted via injury. You know, plus three straight seasons of playing deep into June will take its toll. The Carolina Hurricanes are always beatable late in the season and in the playoffs because their style just wears them out. The tank is empty and they're kind of a one-trick pony. So after that, you look at the Washington Capitals, whom the Penguins have beaten and can beat, and the rest of the teams in the East, well, it's, you know, top to bottom. I mean, the best team right now is the Buffalo Sabres of all teams. So, yeah, they should definitely be in the race. And look, when Sidney Crosby is on your team, you always have a puncher's chance.
How do you grade Dan Muse's job about halfway through his first season?
I think he was a much-needed breath of fresh air, wind of change, and all of that. Got them off to a good start, has given a lot of players the room and encouragement to grow their game. Ryan Shea, Parker Watherspoon specifically, but even Justin Brazeau. You also look at other players, Anthony Mantha and guys who are having a nice resurgence with the Penguins. That speaks well to Dan Muse. Obviously, he will be judged in April by the cleanliness of the Penguins game, like I mentioned a little bit before. If the Penguins don't clean up and the details of their game remain just chaos, well, that's going to reflect poorly on him. So I suppose the second half will be judged there.
Something that Dom and I are going to get into in a little bit, but I did want to ask your thoughts on it, Dan. Looking at the attendance figures across the National Hockey League. When it comes to percentage capacity, the Penguins are 30th in the league, 88.8%. Seven teams are at 100 or more. The Golden Knights fit in 102.4% of their capacity crowd on average. What is the issue beyond, okay, maybe they're not as good as their hot start indicated, but what are some other issues you think with why they can't get people in the building?
Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Donnie. When I start talking about fans, I get just a stream of Twitter replies or X replies. You don't have to pay to go to games and all, you know, and that is true. There, for a few decades now, there has been a lack of Penguins fan culture, of anything to buy into for the people going to games. You know, Pittsburgh is not naturally a hockey town. So, you know, building that hockey culture, unfortunately, in kind of a very weird way, was blunted by having Mario Lemieux, by having Jagr, and then Sidney Crosby and Malkin, where Penguins fans have sort of been conditioned to be fans of a player rather than the team. And now that you've had Sidney Crosby for 20 plus years, God help them, fans, I think, are a little bit, they're over it, having Sidney Crosby, having Evgeny Malkin. And what's the phrase? You can die a hero or live long enough to be the villain. I think there's some of that happening. Also, Penguins ticket prices are a little bit priced out of whack for the market. And Penguins fans, like I said, don't go for the sport. They go for the player or they go for the winning. And right now, you know, the sales feature is the game and maybe some winning. So it's been a tough slog for the organization.
Our guy Phil on Twitter wants me to ask you, Dan, when Gino is coming back. Is there any timeline there?
That's one of those honey mustard questions. If I knew, I'd report it. No, he hasn't started skating with the team yet. He's been skating individually, you know, on what Mike Sullivan used to call the injured ice, as if the ice were hurt too. So not until he joins the team can we put really a timeline on this. I just don't know.
There we go. Dan Kangurski, Penguins reporter, Pittsburgh Hockey Now. Dan, thanks for taking the time, man. Have a great new year.
Have fun.
There we go. Dan Kangurski giving us a little hockey talk there. The Penguins making that trade. Igor Chinnikov. I think I might have that one down. Segment was brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. A little bit of NFL breaking news that I want to get into next. Dom and I will still have that conversation about Penguins attendance. I want to get his thoughts on that because he wanted to talk about it. So we will get into that coming up. We'll take your calls at 412-928-9370. Donnie, football in for the guys on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. 412-928-9370 is the number to join the conversation. You can also hit us up at that number on the Fan text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Donnie in for Adam and Doran. 35 more minutes. And Dom, we do have the news on who is hosting the midday show today.
Oh, this is so exciting.
The man who normally produces the midday show, Austin Bechtold, the man they call City Limits, the man that you say the man that you say will have the greatest 2026 of them all.
And see, it's starting off strong already. Hosting the midday show to end the year, going to go into 2026 better than ever. I feel more confident than any other prediction I've ever made. And I was right about Caleb Williams 3 years before everybody else.
You were. I'll give you credit there. He looks like a very, very good player. He's having a great year. I mean, I do think it's a very good combo between Caleb Williams and Ben
Johnson. Here we go.
What, you don't think Ben Johnson deserves any credit there?
No, but you're trying to discredit Caleb Williams. That's what you're doing.
So you don't think that the coach has anything to do with the young quarterback's progression?
Yeah, sure he does.
Progression.
Caleb Williams is the one throwing the ball down the field.
The natural talent was always there for Caleb Williams. He was the first overall pick. But I think it got refined into the better player that we are now seeing because of Ben Johnson.
Maybe Caleb Williams has made Ben Johnson a good head coach. You ever think about that, Donnie?
Well, yeah, we just had that conversation about Big Ben and Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin, who has never won a game in Cleveland without Ben Roethlisberger as his quarterback. How about that, Dom? The Penguins' attendance is something that you wanted to discuss. I asked Dan Kangurski about that a few minutes ago. They are 30th in the league in percentage capacity. 88.8%. The only two teams behind them this year are the Buffalo Sabres, which is kind of surprising to me because that always seemed like a pretty hockey-heavy town, and the team is not playing all that poorly. They are right there in the heat of the playoff race about halfway through the season. And then the San Jose Sharks, this one shouldn't be much of a surprise. There's about a million better things to do in that area of California than go to a hockey game. They fill out only 87.8% of the arena. So why do you think it is, Dom? What do you think is the biggest overarching reason?
Yeah, so it was Penguins Jesus who tweeted this out. And I think, you know, Penguins Jesus and I are cool. I think we're like buddies. He doesn't like Pony, but him and I are cool.
Yeah, nobody really likes Pony.
True.
On Twitter especially.
So I saw him put this out there, and I was pretty surprised, to be honest. And then you're looking at all the other teams, and people said, well, it's because the Penguins are losing and they stink. Well, Nashville is second in attendance, and right now they're one of the worst teams in the league. So you can't really use that as an excuse. I know the exact reason, Donnie. I know the exact reason. Attendance is down because Penguins games used to be the best game experience in the city. Better than Steelers games, better than Pirates games in terms of going and enjoying the actual event. Now it might be the worst for a number of reasons. Ticket prices are just inexcusably high. When you get to the game, parking is inexcusably ridiculously high when it comes to their prices. And I just went to a game last week, so I can tell you firsthand. You have to take out a loan in order to get any food or drink in the arena. And it's just, you know, the other part of this, and I talked about this with Starkey last week, and he kind of brushed it off as no big deal. There is nothing around PPG Paints Arena that makes you want to go there outside of the game. At least if you go to the Steelers game or Pirates games, you know, you can go to the North Shore, you can walk across the bridge, take in the river, whatever. PPG Paints Arena is in a terrible part of town, which is also why I think that they might try to look to go to the North Shore in the next 20 or 30 years. But that's a whole other conversation. Games, going to a Penguins game is not what it used to be. It's too expensive. And right now it's not worth it because the team sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that maybe the hot start of the season would have them doing a little bit better than what the numbers look like right now. And I guess I made the point about the San Jose Sharks and why there are so many other things that you can do around San Jose that is more attractive than going to a hockey game. But at the same time, as I make that point, look at the teams that are 1-2. The Vegas Golden Knights fill out 102.4% of their arena every night. The capacity there is 17,500. They get nearly 18,000 in that building on a given night. That is in Las Vegas. If you've ever been there, there are a couple of different things you can do in Las Vegas. You will not go bored. Nobody has ever been bored being in Las Vegas, and if they are, that's their problem. And then Nashville, at number two, that has turned into like the 2010s into the 2020s version of like that next big city. It's one of the biggest party cities in America. And on any given night, they have over 100% of their capacity in attendance. And Dom just said, it's not like they are playing great hockey right now. So I think there's absolutely something to the reasons that you just said, Dom. I have the Penguins Jesus tweet pulled up too, that the prices are just way too high. Parking, getting in and out is wild. Josh Carney, who he covers the Steelers, if you're not familiar with him, he had a pretty funny reply. He said parking is a racket down there. I think that's a funny way to put it, but he's right.
It is. It's awful.
It is a crapshoot. You have those random little private lots that'll be like $40 right by the arena. And my thought when I drive past is, how am I going to get my car out of here at the end of the night? So that is always something that you're kind of throwing at the wall. There's construction all over the place trying to get to the arena.
And when the weather's bad, you drive around these roads that aren't salted or plowed, so it's like a hazard even getting to these parking lots that cost an arm and a leg to go to.
Yeah, so it is kind of a mess. I do think it would do them well if they did bump down ticket prices, because that seems to be kind of the theme of the last few years, because their attendance has not been good for the last few seasons. Since the playoff drought has begun for them, you've seen games. I remember going to a game last year. It was on Halloween.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
A very nice weather day, so obviously you're going to have people doing their thing for Halloween with their kids, but it was like a 70-degree day in late October. That place was a ghost town. There could not have been more than 12,000 people in the building.
Yeah, I told you I went to the game last week against the Oilers. It was the Tuesday night TNT game, big time. Jari was back in town. The place did not have the feel and energy it would for what is arguably the biggest regular season game on paper. Nobody's going to these games, and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Same team, Donnie, that had the sellout streak from 07 to 21, like 15 years of selling out every game. Something has changed in the past 4 years, and it's not just the product on the ice.
Yeah, and your point there about what a big game that would have been. I mean, I think anybody's chance to see a player as good as Connor McDavid, you're going to take advantage of that. And the attendance just has not been there. And I don't really expect it to get better in the second half of the season unless they really get hot and turn it around and get ready for a playoff push. You can follow along on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can also watch the shows now on Twitter. Austin Bechtold will have you covered from 10 until 2. The guys are in this afternoon. But coming up, some breaking news in pro football that we will get to that Steelers fans will want to hear. And then we will part ways in about a half hour from now. Donnie Football in for the guys on 93.7 The Fan. A little over 10 minutes away from the 50-minute mark on The Fan. That's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. That bit of pro football breaking news we wanted to get to. The finalists for the 2026 Pro Football Hall of Fame class have been announced. And Hines Ward is not among the finalists in 2026. Dom, did the committee get it right?
This one's so tough to me, Donnie, because we all love Hines Ward, and he means so much to all of us. I do think he's a Hall of Famer. I also kind of see why they're keeping him out, but if it was up to me, yes, I think he is a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
So there are three other receivers that are named finalists for this. Now, not all of these guys get in. 15 total finalists for the class of 2026. One of them is an absolute slam dunk. That is Larry Fitzgerald. I'm not even going to waste your time asking if you think Ward, just off the top of your head, was a better player than the other two. The other two guys, Reggie Wayne and Torrey Holt, the two receivers that have moved on to the finalist stage of the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Reggie Wayne, yes. Holt, that's another tough one. Like, I don't know if he was that much better than Hines Ward.
I kind of have the same holdups. I would go with Reggie Wayne. I know people can point to, like, well, he got to play with Peyton Manning his whole career, which is certainly going to be a plus for anybody. But he grabbed that mantle after Marvin Harrison was done, and he ran with it. Now, Ward, what he was able to accomplish in some seasons before the arrival of a true franchise quarterback is pretty impressive. 2002, his QB is Tommy Maddox. He had 112 catches for 1,329 and 12 touchdowns. 2003, the same thing. 95 grabs, 1,163 and 10 touchdowns. And then he was an 1,100-yard receiver in his age 33 season. 755 yards in his final year. So kind of a similar track to what Reggie Wayne did in his last few seasons. They both played like the exact same amount of time, 14 years. But Wayne had the run from 04 to 2010. He was a 1,000-yard receiver every single year, and then he did it again in 2012. So I think that gives the guy the nod. But now that I'm looking more at Torrey Holt, he played three fewer seasons than Hines Ward. From 2000 to 2007, 1,000 yards every single year. He had almost 1,700 yards in 2003 with 12 touchdowns. 2000, he had 1,635. He led the league with 19.9 yards per reception. I know that Hines played a different style, a lovable style for people in Pittsburgh. I think the problem is I would put the dude in the Hall of Fame if I had the choice to. I think I've noticed with myself that I am somebody that would have more guys in the Hall of Fame than are already in it. Like, I probably give the nod to some guys that maybe shouldn't be in. The issue is that the position group is just so competitive at that spot. And there are some guys with such gaudy numbers that you have to put them in there. And you really have to be a player that had like an all-time lasting legacy, I think, to get beyond that. Now, Ward does have the Super Bowl MVP, which is something over both of those guys that they don't have. And I do think that there is some credence to that. The guy won multiple Super Bowls here. I think it just comes down to the position that he played. Like, I think he's a Hall of Fame player. It just gets really tough because every single year the wide receiver numbers are going to look better and better.
Yeah, and then I looked these numbers up, but he only had one season where he was top five in reception yards, never was a first-team All-Pro, only, quote-unquote, only, but only four Pro Bowls. I mean, is that Hall of Fame numbers? I don't know. And again, I'm with you. I want to put him in. I want him to be a Hall of Famer. Two Super Bowl wins, the Super Bowl MVP, like you said. And he blocked, and he was just the toughest SOB out there, and we all love him. And he retired early, I think, because he didn't want to play anywhere else. So he's a Steeler. He's one of us. But, I mean, you kind of look at it, and it's like, I don't know. If the guy played for the Cardinals, I don't think any of us would be saying he should be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good point, too. I mean, kind of the point that I make with, like, I've made that point before cross sport, but, like, with Derek Jeter, where I think he's probably still a Hall of Famer if he plays for a lesser team, like the Diamondbacks, let's just say, to keep it with Arizona. But he's getting in with, like, just the right amount of the vote, not 99.7 or whatever it was that he got. And people were mad about the one guy who didn't vote him in. I think it does have to do a little bit with where you play, what team you play for, kind of the legacy that that team has. To me, looking at this group, so it's Willie Anderson, Drew Brees, Jari Evans, Larry Fitzgerald, Frank Gore, Torrey Holt, Luke Kuechly, Eli Manning, Terrell Suggs, Adam Vinatieri, Reggie Wayne, Kevin Williams, Jason Witten, Darren Woodson, and Marshall Yonda. I think there are three absolutes. I think Brees, Fitzgerald, and Kuechly are absolutes. Kuechly should have been in last year on his first ballot. Brees and Fitzgerald will be in on their first year. I'm somebody that thinks that Eli will get in. I think that those two Super Bowl wins and who they were against carry a lot of weight. Not to mention, I don't think it necessarily hurts that his last name is Manning, and he has continued to have a pretty good rapport with the NFL. I don't know where you come down on kickers, but if you're going to put some kickers in there, Vinatieri's got to be in there. The guy has the most clutch kicks in NFL history. He won multiple Super Bowls with game-winning field goals. So if you're going to have kickers in there, which there are kickers in there, I think Vinatieri has got to be a guy that goes in. It's always difficult for offensive linemen, too. Willie Anderson, Jari Evans, Marshall Yonda. I always go back to Alan Faneca. It took Alan Faneca like four or five tries to get in, and that guy had one of the best modern-day resumes of any offensive lineman in league history. So there you go, the 15 finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2026. Hines Ward, not among them. 412-928-9370 if you want to join the conversation. Coming up, some final thoughts on the day. Maybe we get into what we got going on for the rest of our New Year's Eve plans. Dom and I will be together tomorrow as well. Austin Bechtold coming up in 15 minutes. We got one more segment with you next on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Fan weather, that's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Windy and cloudy, high of 25 today. Austin Bechtold comes your way in just a few minutes. Dom, the nice thing is that I don't think shoveling needs to be done. I wondered if that was going to be on my to-do list when I got back home. But I realized this morning when I got to, brushing off my car, it was like a light snow. It wasn't like compacted down like a wintry mix where it's like, oh, this stuff is slushy and heavy and it's going to be a pain in the ass. Like it kind of brushed right off. So that part was nice. And it was only what, like an inch or an inch and a half of snow, at least where I was in Baldwin.
Yeah, we should be good. The snow was that, like you said, it was the soft snow that you can take right off. So that's the worst of it. I guess I'll take it.
Yeah. So I don't have to worry about doing that, but it is nice. I'm not going to lie, as rough as that 4 a.m. Alarm was, this morning. It is pretty nice on these days to be done by 10. That's something I haven't experienced in quite a few years. My very first job out of college, Dom, I worked in West Virginia, and I did like morning updates at a very little station in Fairmont, and I was done at like 11 a.m. every day. That was pretty nice, but the downfall was that I had to wake up at like 3:30. So, yeah, there's that. But we will be together again tomorrow, and I'm a little bit excited for that one. I'm a lot excited for that one. We always have fun working together. Another Wednesday filling in for the PM team tomorrow afternoon, because it will be a guest-filled day, as all Wednesdays are. It'll be a New Year's Eve edition. We will revisit the resolutions that I had for the Pittsburgh sports teams. We will also talk about whatever Mike Tomlin says today at noon. That'll be my first chance to react to that. Will TJ Watt play? Will Lamar Jackson play? That is going to be two of the bigger questions going into the Steelers-Ravens matchup on Sunday night. Then New Year's Day, we are together as well, Dom. And we are going to be taking in some college football playoff action together, live and in color, because we will be right in these same spots, 2-6 on Thursday, when the college football playoff games are going on. The next round begins tomorrow night. Ohio State takes on Miami. Then you have three games on New Year's Day. So if you have been waiting for some meaningful college football to happen, you don't have to wait too much longer, because a lot of the bowl games have been very, very tough watches at this point. Because let's be honest, nobody really cares about any of these games. And Dom and I have had those conversations as the bowl season has gone on. Want to thank the folks who joined the conversation this morning, whether it was a phone call, a text, a tweet, a YouTube comment, whatever it may be. Want to thank Dan Kangurski, Trey Essex, Jeff Hathorn for their contributions as well. Dom, great work behind the glass. Austin Bechtold is next on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Donnie Football.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.